Chapter 7. Capel 5642A. DV, minus 67 days. Red littered the corridor, the red of mechanicum robes and the blood of those wearing them. Here and there, steel and silver and brass stood out in the bright flare of Korax's lightning claws. The darker shadows of power armor provided a softer contrast, a handful of sons of Horus that had been overseeing the shipyard.
Bran, move forward and trigger targeting.
The Primarch stopped, standing over the crumpled ruin of a traitor with the markings of a sergeant. Looking down at the renegade, Korax did not feel anger or hatred. Disappointment, perhaps. There were those that he had learned had refused to follow the Warmaster into rebellion, but the Sons of Horus could not be blamed for following their Primarch. He wondered if the dead sergeant had required persuading, or if a last small step to turn against the Emperor had been easy to take, the culmination of a longer process.
180 seconds. Orbital defenses are responding.
Nearly a kilometre away, on the other side of the orbital facility, Bran and his raptors had breached the main transmitter array for the starbase. It would be a simple enough task to set up a comlink between the Avenger and the berth monitoring systems that policed the space traffic, around 5 massive starship hulls being assembled above the asteroid base of Capel 5642A. Korax had ordered the strike just in time. One of the new battleships was almost operational, the others nearing completion within weeks. Not the Mechanicum's finest work, Korax assumed, but speedily built in relation to the decades-long construction normally required. The Primarch knew firsthand the efficiencies of forced labour and interned workers, and Horus's allies in the Mechanicum had been replicating such methods across dozens of forge worlds and shipyards like Capel.
60 seconds.
Korax told his warriors as he pulled back down the corridor towards the entry point blasted by his Stormbird.
Avenger, do you have the birth grid matrix?
Affirmative, Lord Korax, Ifrinia replied. Programming torpedo firing solutions now. Clad in golden armor, Arcatus, Vindex Centurio of the Custodian Guard, burst into the corridor from a junction ahead, accompanied by another 6 of the superhuman warriors. Survivors of many battles since they had departed Terra to guard the gene formulas gifted to Korax by the Emperor. They cut down augmented soldiers and semi-mechanical servitors amidst the flare of the powered blades and bolt gun flash of their guardian spears. The Custodian cleaved a hulking Praetorian servitor in 2 with a sweep of his halberd, shattering gears and bones with equal ease. Stepping astride the remnants, he raised his weapon in salute to the approaching Primarch.
"I'm beginning to see the merit in taking the fight to the enemy," said Arcatus. "There is more than one way to protect the Emperor. Sometimes a solid offensive is the best defense."
"If Horus cannot reach Terra, the Emperor is safe," replied Korax.
The 2 of them fell into step together, picking their way past the streaming, smoking, bleeding remnants of the Mechanicum warriors that clogged the passage.
"This is a war we simply cannot afford to lose."
Arcatus nodded. He paused to drive the tip of his glaive into the squirming body of a serpentine machine beast jittering under the toppled corpse of a combat servitor. A handful of years ago, when Horus turned at Istvan, it was a shock to everybody, he said. We of the Legionis Custodes had to believe that the worst might come, but in the back of their minds many thought it impossible that the renegade Warmaster could actually take on the might of the Imperium.
I never doubted it, said Korax.
You must understand how powerful denial can be. Yes, Horus had destroyed 3 legions, or close enough, and as his schemes unfolded, the Dark Angels and Ultramarines were removed from the main theater of war. But even then, there were those that could not envisage a galaxy where the traitor forces held the balance of power.
There had been some amongst the Raven Guard upper echelons who had thought the same. Korax had allowed them to give voice to their concerns, but he had never harbored any doubts about Horus's abilities as a war leader.
What is impossible to my mind,
Arcatus continued, is the notion that Horus would even embark on such a cataclysmic course of action without being absolutely certain he would win. Throughout the Great Crusade, Horus proved time and time again that he was capable of tremendous victories, conquering swathes of the galaxy through planning, charisma, and sheer bloody-mindedness.
He is also adept at utilizing the strengths of his brothers to his best advantage, added Korax, somewhat bitterly. Always ready to ask his brothers to sacrifice their legions in the shadows, away from the annals and Picts of the Remembrancers, always arriving in time to deliver the final blow. I struck Horus once for usurping the victories of the Raven Guard for his own glory, a moment that no doubt festers in the War Master's thoughts. I aim to repeat the insult whenever I can.
He has done the same with his rebellion, blunting the counterattack of the Loyalist forces with the likes of the Emperor's children, the Iron Warriors, and Word-Bearers. Month by month, year by year, the War Master has consolidated his position, readying for the strike that is sure to come, an assault on Terra. They turned into the corridor leading back to the entry blasted into the station by the Stormbirds and Thunderhawks.
And there are those only too willing to favour the side that appears to be in the ascendancy, said Korax, with a sad shake of the head. They judge their futures more secure with the rising star than the old elite. Rebellion is in vogue across the Imperium, whether for the traitors or simply against the Emperor. Dorne was adamant that Horus could not win without toppling the Imperial capital, and I agreed. Where we differ is in the manner in which that can be stopped. The Fist of the Emperor is determined to make a stand at the walls of the palace itself, but it is defeatist to assume that the traitors will reach the Sol system regardless of the efforts of loyal warriors.
The Primarch of the Raven Guard believed, had to believe, that history would prove him right. Horus was no fool, but he had planned for the Raven Guard to be wiped out on the blackened fields of Istvan. Their continued existence and the attacks launched by Korax and his followers delayed the last assault, demonstrating the lie that a battle for Terra was inevitable.
30 seconds,
Korax announced, needing no chronometer to keep track of time. His inner sense was as accurate as any conventional timepiece. He bounded up the ramp of the dropship, the self-same dropship that had lifted him from Istvan, he noted, and waited at the top for the withdrawing custodians and Raven Guard with him to file past. "Breaking a few warships will not swing the course of the war," said Arcatus, stopping beside Korax.
"No, but their absence will be felt. One lost convoy will not break the rebellion either. You are right," replied the Primarch. "A freed world will not stem the tide on its own. Yet they come from the same source, and victory is simply the accumulation of countless unimportant events and decisions in your favor. Every defeat Horus suffers brings time for Dorn to build his defenses. Every shipyard destroyed or taken back limits the traitor's reach. Every world kept in the Imperial fold or delivered from the traitors stretches Horus's resources. Every gun and suit of warplate withheld from the renegades adds up, and in time, they will be the measure of our enemy's defeat."
Korax waved Arcatus into the depths of the dropship.
"We swiftly approach the tipping point," the Primarch said. "The Sons of Horus are on the offensive, hounds of war finally unleashed by their lord after the others have weakened us. The War Master desires a great battle to end all battles, one final confrontation to prove himself superior. We will not give him that. Lycaeus was not seized overnight. It was taken by meticulous preparation and 1,000 tiny victories. The War Master will not be stopped by a single battle. On 12 worlds, 100 worlds, 1,000 worlds, the Emperor's loyal servants will resist, each taking their toll, bleeding dry a rebellion held together only by ego and desperation. You think you can wage that war? The greatest enemy is the one you cannot see, and so cannot fight. That is the essence of the Raven Guard."
With a roar of thrusters, the dropship lifted up from the orbital facility. The ramp closed. Korax's last view was of immense torpedoes cruising past, only a few kilometers away, heading unerringly towards their targets. In the distance, orbital stations and monitor vessels were just starting to detect the threat in their midst. They would be too late. The Avenger was already turning away, ready to sweep up its assault craft and activate the reflex shields. Within 3 minutes, the newly commissioned ships would be nothing more than molten metal and wreckage. In 5 minutes, the Avenger would be heading out system, cloaked from detection, ready for the rendezvous with the rest of Korax's forces. The Primarch smiled.
Horus will not lose the war at the walls of the Imperial Palace, but out here, in the forgotten places between the stars, in the darkness beyond the light of his presence. This is where the Raven Guard thrive. This is where Horus will fail.